So what are you thinking? If you would tell me what you were thinking, I would know a little more about you. If you would tell me what you thought yesterday, if I could see your thoughts yesterday, I know quite a bit about you. Do you think anyone knows what you're thinking? Do you think anyone knows what you thought about yesterday? Oh, we would say, well, probably God does. Should take out the word probably. He does know. Are you comfortable with that? Are we comfortable with God knowing our thoughts? Are we comfortable with what we think? Or can you control your thoughts? What do you think about? You ever think about God? I wonder what enters your mind when you think about God. A.W. Tozer said that is the most important thing about us. The most important thing about us, A.W. Tozer says, is what we think about when we think about God. I believe our actions tell us a lot of what we are thinking. Have you ever heard someone say, or have you said it, I did that without thinking? That's not like me. I wouldn't do that. I wonder who we're trying to fool. If we're saying things like that, the only person we're fooling is ourselves. Maybe a few others around us, if they're not that sharp. But I had a person once tell me, and I'm not quite sure this is entirely accurate, but I think it is. He said, at least something like this: we don't do what we have not first allowed in our thoughts or in our minds. We won't do our actions. We will not do unless we first allowed it in our thoughts. So, if that is true, then what we're doing is revealing at least a part of our thoughts. And what we're doing when no one is looking is what reveals what our thoughts are, at least quite a bit of. In Proverbs 23, 6, and 7, he's talking about a person. Well, let me read it. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meat. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. He is telling you to do something which he doesn't really mean in his heart. But I think I'll pull that out of there and apply it at least to other places. For he that thinketh in his heart, so is he. So you can reverse that also, I believe. As you are is what you're thinking. Now, we did talk about God probably knows our thoughts, and well, he does know our thoughts. In the scriptures, speaking about Solomon, First Chronicles 28:9, and David talking to Solomon during the building of the temple or before. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. If thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. The Lord searcheth the hearts. He understands the imaginations. The English Standard Version gives that the Lord searches all hearts and understands every plan and thought. God knows that. He understands that. NIV gives it. He understands every motive behind the thoughts. God knows your thoughts. Jesus spoke of that in Matthew 9, and Jesus knowing their thoughts. In Matthew 12, and Jesus knew their thoughts. In Luke, Jesus perceived their thoughts, and he knew their thoughts. But he knowing their thoughts in Luke. God knows our thoughts. Do you know your own thoughts? Have you thought about what you're thinking? Can you figure that one out? Have you thought about what you're thinking? Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I think there's times we don't even understand our own hearts, our own thoughts out coming out of our hearts. Who can know it? It implies that God does. Jeremiah 6:19, hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, not to my law, but rejected it. God speaking that the people who have rejected him, he will bring to them the fruit of their thoughts. I think that works in the reverse too. For those who accept him, those who follow him, he brings the fruit of their thoughts into their lives. Well, that's actually what we're talking about, out of the heart. Out of our action, or out of our heart comes our actions, which is who we are. We do what we've thought about. I'd like if you turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. I'd like to read this chapter. Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name and for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. I do not profess to understand all of this chapter, and neither am I going to share what I don't understand, but I think we need to what we do understand, we need to work from that point and go on. Now, there are some things here that I think are fairly clear. Now, I believe in God, and I believe that he is so much higher than we are. I believe that his ways and his thoughts are way above ours. But I want you to look. I don't think that is what this chapter is saying. We get that from other chapters. But look, verse 6. He asks us to seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. And he says, let the wicked forsake his way. And the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him, and to our God he will abundantly pardon. And I think he's talking to the wicked and the unrighteous here. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. How true that is. Now, I'm not saying that us that are seeking to follow God are reaching him. No, I'm not. But I think he's teaching here that he wants us to have his thoughts. He wants us to have his ways. He wants us to follow him. Let the wicked forsake him, his thoughts. Let the wicked forsake his ways, the unrighteous people, and begin to follow God. And he tells us how. Seek the Lord. Well, what if we can't find him? Well, there's a time he's near. And that is the time to seek him. That time is now. That time is now. Call upon him while he is near. That time is now. Oh, maybe tomorrow I'll follow him. No, the time is now. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the day to come to him. Now is the day to think his thoughts, walk in his ways. Verse 10. He says as rain comes down, as snow comes down, and it returns not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. We see that happening right now. You know, the spring's coming. Rain comes, sun comes. Snow was here. I don't know, maybe you don't have snow down here. But it is for growth. Nicaes, so, like that, shall my word be. The word that comes out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void. My word, God says, the word that I've sent out is not going to come back void. It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Have you ever noticed a flood? Where do floods come from? Isn't it from the same rain? Are they accomplishing what God has sent them for? He says, goes out. There are times that God's word can just wipe out. It can wipe out areas in your life that you haven't turned over to Him. It can wipe out, what can wipe out lives? I'd much rather have a soft, gentle rain. I'd much rather learn from that. I think we can make some applications here. You know, I believe we need the times of intense Bible study and Bible schools and things like that. I think that is tremendous to get a lot of rain into our lives. I think it's tremendous to have a weekly infusion of rain, of God's word, of encouragement. Well, I think we need it oftener than that. I think a daily. Well, actually, even an hourly would be good, wouldn't it? Well, wouldn't all the time? You know, just God's word into our lives. So shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. Luke 6:45. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man, out of the evil treasure in his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. You know, our thoughts, we can hide. We can hide what's in our heart. We can do a fairly good job of that sometimes. But not always. It'll come out. Who you are in your deepest, most inner man is who you are. Oh, can we know the thoughts of our hearts? Daniel 2:30. But as for me, the secret is not revealed, Daniel speaking here, is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sake, that thou shalt make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. He is telling that to the king, that you may know your thoughts. He didn't know what he dreamed. He didn't know what was all going on. But God will reveal that. So as you think about your thoughts, do you like about what you're thinking? Do you like as you look at what you thought about yesterday and thought about today? Do you like what you see? Galatians 6:7-9. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. In our Sunday school class, we talked about cause and effect. But as that's one of the laws that God set up, that there are no cause and effect. But what if I saw bad things, bad thoughts? Does this apply? Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap? Sure. Can I change that? Probably not. You're going to reap what you've already sowed. So are we doomed? If we thought bad thoughts and if we've done bad things, is there a way? Is there hope for us? As I think of sowing and reaping, I do not think we can plow under enough or rototill enough or whatever to get rid of all of it. But it sure helps. But if that's all you do, that'll come back. You need to overseed with good seed. If you want to minimize a harvest, if you want to minimize the bad harvest, the bad seeds that you've sown, you're going to have to sow a lot of good seeds. And he tells us how. His word is what we need in our lives. Well, 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. English Standard gives that, take every thought captive to obey Christ. Do we have control over what enters our mind? Do we have control over what enters our mind? Yes and no would be a good answer, I think. Do we have control over what enters our mind? We don't always have control over everything that enters our mind, I don't think. Now, we can definitely minimize the bad and maximize the good by what we think about. We tend to follow a path that we're thinking. And that's why it is so important that when we do think bad thoughts, when we do have those times when nobody's watching, and we allow ourselves to go, we have to take those things captive and pitch them out. Bring them into the obedience of Christ. Get rid of them. And think good thoughts. Again, overseeding bad with good. The bad things that we've done, the bad things that we've thought about, the things we shouldn't have done, we need to overseed with good. All right, and I wanted to say at the beginning, this message is for me. This message is because I need it. I know what it's like to be tempted with bad thoughts and bad things to do when nobody is watching and that. We all know that. And I know you do because the Bible says you do. You're like me. We're like each other. But we have to take those thoughts captive. I don't think we can always control what comes into our mind, but we can control that comes in our mind. We have a choice to do with that, what we want. Either follow it or get rid of it. Job says, no thought can be withholden from thee. Job 42:2. He is no thought. God knows what we think. Now I'd like if you'd turn in your Bibles to Hebrews 4. Verse 12. For the word of God is quick, it is alive. Quick means alive. It is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Become familiar with it. Read it. Study it. Understand it. Learn of it. Practice it. It will help you understand your thoughts. The intents that you weren't quite sure where they come from, but yeah, you understand. Like they come from your heart, from what you've been thinking about. It will divide. It will show you. It will help you understand. The NIV gives it. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. In the English Standard Version, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. God's word will show you what's in your heart. Mark 12:28-30. And one of the scribes came up to him and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, which commandment is the most important of all? Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. God wants us to love him with all our heart, with everything that's in there. Would you turn to Psalm 139? I'd like to read most of this psalm, if not all. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. I'll stop there a little bit. When do we become aware of our thoughts? I think it is when we think them. Are you aware that God knows what you're thinking? Are you aware that he knows what you're thinking even before you think it? That's how it is to dwell in eternity. And I don't know what that's like. I know how it starts, you know, and that, but wow. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Whither shall I go from the Spirit, or whither shall I flee from the presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there thy hand shall lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about thee, about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and light are both alike to thee. For thou possessest my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eye did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. We believe that. We don't understand that. But God knows us even before we're formed. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. God's thoughts about us. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sea. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. You like that language? You understand that? It goes a little bit against non-resistance, doesn't it? What is he talking about? Are you ever allowed to say, I don't know? I don't know. But I want to make an application. He is talking about thoughts immediately before this, and he's talking about thoughts immediately after this. I apply this to thoughts. Right or wrong, I'm not saying that I'm in interpreting this, but that's how I'm applying it for myself. God, I don't like these wicked thoughts. Get rid of them for me. I hate them. We tend to get rid of what we hate. I think it's right for us to hate wicked thoughts. Now, verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me and know my thoughts. Why does a psalmist ask God to search him and try him and know his thoughts? He just said, you know him, even before I do. You have set me before and behind. You knew me before I was even formed. Why does he ask him to search him, for God to know his thoughts? I don't think he's asking for God to know his thoughts. I think he's asking for God to show him his thoughts. For the psalmist, so that he can understand his own thoughts. God, show me what I'm thinking. Show me where I need help. God, see if there's any wicked way in me. I want to get rid of them. I want to cast them out. I want to take them captive. I want to slay those. I want you to cast them out for me and lead me in the way everlasting. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on this kind of thoughts. Who are we? And who are we becoming? Did you know that you are and you're becoming what you're reading, what you're listening to, and who you're associating with? And we have choices in those three areas. We have choices to what we read. We have choices to who we listen to. And we have choices to who we associate with. In my limited understanding, those are the three things that form us to who we are and who we are becoming. We need to choose wisely. We need to choose wisely to how we spend our time. Now, I'm not one that you can't read news. News is bad. Did you know that? Bad news, that's what gets our attention. No, good news, why we tend to look over a little bit. This is the good news, but anyway. We're drawn to bad things. If we fill our minds primarily with that, we'll become bad. We are what we read, what we listen to, and who we associate with. May each of us choose wisely. Shall we stand for prayer?